Bonjour. Bonne année, Sarah.
Bonne année, Stéphane, and welcome to you all to So French, the show about the twists and turns, intrigues and insights to all things French.
Every 2 weeks, we select the best, most interesting and fascinating of French news stories, all brought to you from a studio in the heart of Paris. My name is Stéphane Vries.
And my name is Sarah Bertelson.
This week, we'll talk about the crowdfunding controversy grappling France.
And is the French's love affair with cigarettes soon to be up in smoke? Neutral packaging and extreme price hikes seem to have changed one of Europe's top smoking nations' attitudes towards tobacco.
And you probably had a lovely Christmas, but one very prominent businessman spent the holidays all alone in a Japanese cell. Renault's Carlos Ghosn claims he's innocent on tax avoidance charges, but the Japanese still keep him in jail.
Now, first, from the 15th of January and 2 months onwards, France will hold what President Emmanuel Macron has termed the Great National Debate, a public consultation to discuss the essential questions facing the nation after nearly 2 months of violent, very disruptive, we must say, yellow vest protests. However, as always, I think we can say this initiative has caused some, in some controversy even before it's kicked off. And it's, you know, it's sort of, and this week started with the refusal to lead the consultations by one of its head figures, Chantal Jouanneau.
Yeah, she's a former minister of Sarkozy, minister of sports, and she's now a high civil servant. And she was chosen to head the consultations. But then it became known how much she actually was earning, because, of course, the yellow vests, it all started with demonstrations for more purchasing power, more money. The yellow vests claimed that they earn not enough to have a decent living. Now, of course, when they learned that the president of this commission was earning how much?
15,000 euros a month.
15,000 euros a month. Well, of course, they got very angry. So Chantal Jouanneau, she decided to, no longer to have the consultations. But she's a president of the Commission Nationale du Débat National, the National Commission of the debate, actually. Have you ever heard of that commission?
No, I hadn't. And I think very few French had ever heard about this commission before now, actually. And the thing is, this is a commission that exists since decades.
Yeah, exactly.
We learned in charge of debates such as how France will denuclearize, or, you know, the
tackle climate change.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And all these issues. The money that Chantal Jouanneau, her salary, wasn't fixed just to lead this national consultation or the national debate. It's a salary that has been fixed when she actually got the job to head this this commission. But still, of course, we can understand that it's a bit controversial.
Yeah, it's about the same salary as as Emmanuel Macron, the president of the Republic, and they're about. It also got known that there are about 500 civil servants in France who earn more than the French president. So
and that's the thing, and this is nothing. But maybe it's sort of symptomatic as well, and it shows the base of what the yellow vest movement is about. That you have actually so many civil servants that are making these kind of salaries.
Now, this is a controversy about the salary, but there's also a controversy about the topics. What's this national debate actually about, Sarah?
Well, it has been decided that you cannot debate anything in the national debate.
Oh, that's nice. Democratic.
So there are four topics that had been set up by the government.
Yeah.
It's the green transition, tax issues, democracy and citizenship, and the organization of the state and public services. And this, how this is going to work out, well, it's still sort of they're trying to set out exactly how it's going to work, but already in town halls across the country, the mayors have been, receiving suggestions and propositions from their inhabitants on what, you know, how they think that the society should be organized. And a couple of them have already actually been sent through to the government. And what we can see so far is that many is regarding the social justice and financial justice, lowering politician salaries, for example, and also then civil servant salaries, well, those who are the privileged in society, we can say. The reinstatement of the tax on wealth, which we remember was abandoned by Macron. Mm-hmm. A halt to some of the tax cuts for businesses that's also been put in place by Macron and previously before him, we can also say, by his predecessor, François Hollande. Nationalization of the country's highways. An increase of the minimum wage, known here in France as the SMIC, and more money to social welfare programs. And all these suggestions will then have to be some, you know, treated and you know, put into some kind of local debate.
That everybody and likes, debate. Yeah.
Yeah.
But of course, this is not what Macron wanted when he was elected, of course. So he's acting very hastily. It's in a reaction, actually. So he's not in control anymore.
Well, one can wonder how, as you say, this was the major suggestion that he came up with when he gave his speech in the beginning of December to react to the Yellow Vest protesters. And what we can see is, of course, that it's not very thought through because it's 65 million people living, all citizens in France. To create a national debate is very complicated, and to create a national debate in a month or to organize it in a month's time during Christmas holidays and everything is, of course, almost impossible. But it's what's also interesting is what will not be debated.
Yes.
Because there are restrictions.
So the government is basically saying when and what you're allowed to say or not.
And what you're not allowed
to
say.
Yeah, exactly. So what's on this
list?
You
are not allowed to talk about same-sex marriage, for example. You're not allowed to talk about the right to abortion. You're not allowed to discuss the death penalty either. And there will probably be some other topics that will be added to that list. This has, of course, also been very criticized. And the reason why these specific topics have come up is, of course, because among the many, when they were doing votes within the Yellow Vest movements and on their platforms, those were the topics that actually came up top.
Yeah, but we've seen already that some lobbies are more or less hijacking the national debate.
And this is what the government is trying to put an end to.
You were mentioning the same-sex marriage, but that's, of course, the Manif pour tous of a couple of years ago. And they are very active as well now, again, on the online platforms to influence this national debate. But the government is not taking that into account. Now, of course, how is this supposed to work as the government has promised to push through its reform plan? And then at the same time, asking suggestions from the French population. What's going to happen when...
It's very confusing because, of course, when you have one of the topics being tax issues, for example, Emmanuel Macron and his government, they already have a very clear idea and reform plan for France. So, and they're saying that they're going to push through with this agenda.
Because he was elected on this agenda, of course.
And this will then happen at the same time as we're having this national debate where they're saying that we really want to get suggestions and ideas. I think it's quite confusing at the moment to see where these suggestions will actually end up and how influential they will be on the government's politics.
Absolutely. And at the same time, the economical time bomb is still ticking because unemployment is still rising. There's very low economic growth. The protests have cost billions and billions of euros to French businesses. About 50,000 people I read in the Le Monde that are temporarily unemployed due to the protests of the Yellow Vest. So the economic cost is very high. And of course, this country, as many politicians say and many analysts say, is out of money. So it's going to be extremely complicated. It looks like Macron will be totally... paralyzed, actually, for the next 3 years that's left of his mandate. What do you think?
I don't know. Well, he doesn't act. Well, he's saying he will not be paralyzed. At least he's promising to push through with his reform plan. So, of course, we will see what everything will be depending on what happens with the Yellow Vests. Of course, they are planning a new act, as they call it, of their protests this weekend. Again, last weekend we saw a surge in number of protesters after sort of a dip over the holidays. Last weekend we saw more than 20,000 more protesters than the previous weekend. So of course, they are gaining some momentum, and it doesn't look like they're willing to give up or to, you know, to stop their protest until they see some very clear and real improvement of their living conditions.
Yeah. And in the meantime, Macron is hiding in his castle in l'Élysée, and he's only communicating through Twitter. So it's you know, and he's supposed to go out next week to launch the national debate. But of course, I think there will be many protests and the security measures will be very tight. But
we're also waiting for his letter to the French.
Oh, yeah, that's that true. Yeah, he's going to send us a letter, right?
Yes. Unless if the postal officials are on strike.
Yeah, that always can happen in this country. But it is a very, well, sad turn of events, of course, if you remember how enthusiastic the French, a lot of French people were when he was elected, and especially in the rest of Europe, you know, just a young leader of this country, and now nothing has really left.
Vous écoutez So French.
You are listening to So French.
Now, Stéphane, we have seen crowdfundings for birthdays or end of the year presents for teachers. Even crowdfundings here in France to save old castles from falling into ruins.
Yeah.
But this last week, France has been grappling with a crowdfunding controversy few had imagined.
Indeed. It all started at the beginning of this week, or actually already over the weekend, with the creation of a crowdfunding, how would you call it, pot, a common pot, for a certain Christophe Détinger. He was filmed over the last weekend while attacking two police officers. He's a former professional boxer, so his punches were really professional and quite violent as well. He was quickly identified as a former French champion. He was then he issued an apology on the internet, made a video, and then he turned himself in to the police, and he's still in custody now. But then a crowdfunding was set up to pay for his legal fees, and in 24 hours, more than 8,000 people had contributed with nearly 120,000 euros. And then what happened?
But outrage happened.
Yeah,
the internet happened. People got absolutely outraged over the fact that, you know, there was a collect of money for someone who was so violently punching a police officer. Not only general citizens or normal citizens, of course, police officers and the government, we should say. The government saying that this crowdfunding was disgraceful and it encouraged violence against the police. Now, Litchi, which was the host of this crowdfunding, they initially actually defended it. They say that they're, as a platform, are neutral. But that's, and this is interesting because when internet starts reacting, things can go very, very quickly.
Yeah,
because, you know, so this crowdfunding actually was up for a little bit more than 24 hours. And in the beginning of the day, this was on Tuesday last week, Litchi said then, we are neutral. After a couple of hours, they're suddenly no longer that neutral because then they hid the amount that was collected. And then a couple of hours later, after even more politicians and more police officers and more celebrities had said what they thought about this crowdfunding, well, Litchi actually read its own rules and decided that this was against the rules, and they closed down this fundraiser.
Lawyers say that it's actually nonsense to close it down because it doesn't violate the terms of the website. But apparently there was so much political pressure that Litchi, who is an affiliate of a well-known bank here in France, they probably got scared and they closed it down. But then there was already another crowdfunding action on the same platform, which has not been closed down yet. And that was in favor of the police. And how much money is there already?
Well, this so as you said, this was put in place by a president of one of the southern provinces, regions here in France. And a couple of days after it was created, it is now at 1.4 million euros. And its organizer says that it's a beautiful example of solidarity. And it is to benefit the more than 1,000 law enforcement officers that have been wounded during the demonstrations over these last 9 weeks. I say that those numbers come from the organizer himself. We don't have the official numbers of injured law enforcement officers. But of course, this raises very interesting questions, I must say, I think, regarding the long arms of the state.
Yeah.
I mean, as immoral that you can think it is to create this kind of fundraiser to support a guy who was just punching a police officer. It's outrageous in that sense. But there was no incitement for violence in what was written on the actual fundraiser.
No, it was really to support his legal fees and his family. So and you could also argue that the crowdfunding for the police is also basically supporting violence against citizens. Now, that's another debate, but
could it fall? Because, well, the
French police is very violent compared to other police forces in Europe. But nevertheless, that crowdfunding campaign is still open. So apparently Litchi has different measures. But the director of Litchi said that it wasn't because of external pressure.
Of course not.
He was just applying their own terms. But once again, these terms are completely...
But it's interesting to see how this debate is really, working in a newsroom where, we were talking a lot about these two, about these crowdfundings. And it's interesting to see how different people, different opinions, and how it really, it's a very divisive and interesting issue. Yeah. To discuss.
And it's another polemic within another polemic. You know, every time there's a little thing that dominates the news for 24 hours, and then there's a new thing. And at the same time, like I just said, this country is just, the economy is suffering. So this is the battle of crowdfunding, a new battlefield of the Yellow Vests. Sarah, do you fancy a cigarette?
Not anymore.
Okay, well, I never smoked. But we are living in, the country, probably the country that smokes, one of the European countries where people smoke the most of the continent. Everybody knows all those famous movies of the 50s and 60s, black and white philosophers in the Café de Flore. Smoking cigarettes.
Gauloise cigarettes.
Gauloise. The France's love for the cigarette is, of course, mythical, but it's now starting to fade. The fact is that continuous price hikes over the last decade, smoking decreased by just a few percentage points every year. But that was before last year, because in 2018, tobacco sales dropped by a record 9.3% compared to the previous year. And it looks like there's a real change in French's habits, because even the seizure of illegal imported tobacco went down with 20%. Now, what's happening here? Are the French fed up with their...
maybe things are slowly or finally starting to change also in France. French have held on to their cigarettes for a very, very long time and long after many other European and developed countries. And it's interesting to see that, suddenly last year it was this major drop. And it looks like there's a real drop in the tobacco use, because there's always this talk about how people, when it gets too expensive, well, people are going to start to illegally import instead. But since the seizures of the illegally imported tobacco also dropped that much, it looks like there is a real change of the habits. And of course, the fact is that the price of the average price for a pack of cigarettes in France has gone up, like it's tripled since the year 2000. So it is a major cost. A pack of cigarettes cost about €8 today.
Yeah. It's one of the highest in Europe, I think.
It is pretty expensive. Yeah. And also you have these laws that were put in place in 2007. It became illegal to smoke indoors and in public places, etc. So I think that all of these measures are starting to pay off. And also the fact that since last year, since 2017, there is also these neutral packaging in France, where you no longer have the branding of the cigarettes.
No, and sometimes with horrible photos on it as well.
Exactly. Yeah, and then you have the e-cigarettes, which is very, very popular in France. And I think that it is proven that many have actually swapped their tobacco cigarettes for the e-cigarettes. Now, it's not absolutely clear how healthy the e-cigarette is, but what most experts seem to be saying is that at least it's better to smoke an e-cigarette than to smoke a tobacco cigarette.
Yeah, there are many shops. Every street has everywhere, at least one e-cigarette shop. So why do they smoke so much, actually, the French?
I think it's, as you said, the mythical idea of France. And there's also something rebellious about smoking. And I think that French love and they like the idea of themselves as rebels and of not always following the footsteps of the United States, for example, where, I mean, in the US, you have this whole, you know, gluten-free yoga,
health craze.
Exactly. Sometimes maybe in an extreme way, while the French, sometimes they like this idea of themselves as wine drinking, smoking, non-exercising, but gorgeous people anyway. To just give some stereotypes, but I think the cigarette, it's part of the French identity. Stop smoking is changing your identity in many ways, it's on its way, and I think it's, you know, it looks like this got a real boost over the last year, but you should remember, because cigarettes is the most it kills 200 people in France every day.
Yeah.
And that's much more than alcohol, for example.
Yeah, yeah. So the French myth of cigarettes everywhere is going up in smoke. The president of Renault Nissan, or now only Renault, Carlos Ghosn, is still in prison in Japan for over almost 2 months already because he's there on tax avoidance charges. He was one of the most prominent CEOs in the automobile industry in the world, and now he's spending his time in a Japanese prison. What's the story here, Sarah? What's going on with Carlos Ghosn?
Well, he's trying to figure out himself, as it looks. But he's accused by the Japanese authorities of having actually minimized the salary that he got as the CEO of Nissan, and also of having used company funds to cover some of his personal losses that he's made. Very serious accusations, of course. That is all denied, we must say, by Carlos Ghosn. But that also comes in a very, in a quite interesting context, of course, because apparently there is and has been for a long time a sort of a power struggle within the Nissan company, and where, some people in Japan has been against Carlos Ghosn, and especially a difference in culture, and where Japan has a much stricter culture when it comes to salaries, for example, than the Western countries.
Yeah, and of course he's denying all the allegations. He appeared in court this week in Tokyo. He appeared to have lost a lot of weight, but pretty good health. And then he was actually supposed
to be... With a rope around his waist.
Yeah, it's very serious. In Japan, if you get into prison, they don't really treat you lightly. Carlos Ghosn said he had been wrongly accused and unfairly detained. And now he was able to get out today. But then the Japanese authorities came with new accusations.
Slapped on some new accusations.
So it started all over again. So Carlos Ghosn is still in prison. He was already fired as the CEO of Nissan. And Renault needs to meet, the board of Renault will meet in the next couple...
They're saying that they still have confidence in Carlos Ghosn and that they're not interested in changing in any way. But of course, the longer this goes on, the more complicated it is for Renault to continue business as usual.
Absolutely. And Renault is meeting up this week, the board, to find a way to tackle this problem. Because, of course, if he stays in custody, then Renault needs to find a new chairman very quickly. But Ghosn still has the support of the French authorities. This is not, of course, the case of the Japanese authorities. And some French politicians even say that the Japanese are just xenophobes and that they're trying to punish a Western leader. But you know, it's very unclear what really happened. But then again, Renault Nissan is based in the Netherlands, known as a fiscal, well, haven.
You know, what was interesting this week as well is that it actually came out in the public that Carlos Ghosn, then one of the faces of one of France's most known brands, which is the Renault car, actually did not pay his taxes in France since the year of 2012.
Yeah, and he was he's a fiscal resident of the Netherlands. Now, Renault Nissan is also technically a Dutch company, so it makes sense. But of course, it raises suspicions about the fact that Carlos Ghosn may have been indeed a tax avoider or even, you know, a tax evader, which is... illegal, but you know, this
would be interesting. We haven't heard anything from Emmanuel Macron so far in this case. Emmanuel Macron, who actually asked all the leaders of major French companies, well, where the French state is a major stock holder, to, you know, to pay their taxes and to be fiscal residents in France. But we haven't heard anything from Macron regarding this case.
No, only Bruno Le Maire, the Minister of Economy, has expressed himself. But he still supports Carlos Ghosn. We'll see what this ends. But in the meantime, Carlos Ghosn is still waiting for his trial in a Japanese prison. If you think you have eaten enough with Christmas, then in France you're not done yet, because there's a new holiday very quickly, and it has another delicacy. I like it very much. It's the king's cake. What is it, Sarah?
Well, the king's cake is the patisserie that you eat for the Epiphany here in France. It's a delicious cake, quite heavy, we must say. But what's funny this year is that some very smart person managed to how to combine this very popular patisserie with a very popular celebrity.
Yeah, Johnny Holiday.
Johnny Holiday.
Johnny Holiday. Yeah, yeah. Here he is again, the late national rock hero who died a little bit over a year ago. What did he do? Did he come out of a cake?
It's difficult to put him in the cake in person. Well, no, because he passed away in 2017. How did he end up in the cake? The special thing with the king's cake is that inside the cake you actually have this charm. Well, a fève is called here in France. It comes in different. It's this tiny little figurine, actually, that can be collector's items. It's a big thing for who will get the charm. When you cut the cake, you hide it somewhere, and the person who gets the figurine gets some privileges and also becomes the king of the day. So, and some smart person decided to actually create charms in the shape, or, you know, as an homage to Johnny Holiday, and this has created a success without, you know, ever seen before. Some of the bakers are saying that they're selling three times more king's cakes than usually, thanks to these Johnny Halliday charms.
Incredible.
And just to say that every French family will eat at least once a king's cake during these holidays. So it's already a very famous one. These charms, they come in different shapes and colors and forms. Of course, you have the portrait of Johnny Halliday, you have the guitar, you have the motorcycle, or you can even have the album. Voilà. And there's only one manufacturer of these charms.
And he bought the rights, or how did it work?
They concluded some kind of deal with those who have the rights to the merchandise for Johnny Halliday. And they first produced 300,000 charms. They quickly had to up it with another 300,000, and then on top of that, another 200,000. So for now, there are 800,000 charms that are, and you know, they're here in France, you say they're ça part comme de petit pain.
Yeah, indeed. And only in a couple of days, so because you eat this cake like the first 10 days of the month.
Exactly. And
it's amazing. Do you think Johnny Halliday would have loved this kind of homage?
I don't know. Honestly, it's not very rock and roll.
No, it isn't.
But I mean, at the same time, maybe his family, I don't know if they're getting some money from the merchandise. I have no idea about that, but at least his fans are delighted.
Well, that wraps up this edition of So French. We hope you have enjoyed it. Please follow us on Twitter at So French News. You can listen to us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and even on YouTube.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes, and please leave a review. That way more people will find us. And if you happen to be in Paris, you can also listen to us on air on World Radio Paris.
And if you like French music, check out our free playlist on Spotify, which we update regularly. Just search for So French Music or click the link on our website.
We'll be back in 2 weeks with a new episode of So French.
We hope you'll join us then. Thanks for listening. Au revoir.